I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider, the NFL Today Top, CBSSports.com, all the great outlets and a must read, a must listen. Jay, I feel as if at various points, maybe in the last decade or so, there was at least a small swelling of, like a little undercurrent of maybe we revisit these Thanksgiving Day games. Am I misremembering that, or was that ever broached at all?
I feel like it came up at some owners' meetings a little ways back, and, you know, both the Cowboys and the Lions expressed a strong interest in maintaining the tradition, and I think, you know, that's where the Thursday night game kind of came from, and, okay, well, we'll have one window where it moves every year, but otherwise, you know, the 12:30 and the 4:30 windows or whatever will continue to alternate, you know, kickoffs between the Cowboys and the Lions. You know, look, if we go to a 19-week, 17-game schedule, you know what I mean? Then who knows what that might look like. I mean, there's the potential to be playing an international game, or I shouldn't say that. Maybe you play a game in, you know, a college city that doesn't have anything going on that weekend or whatever, to expose it, you know, expose the NFL to different crowds, but I haven't heard anything really recently about, you know, further tweaks to the way Thanksgiving operates.
Okay, just curious. I figure we discussed it, throw it by you. So you had a great piece. It's on CBSSports.com, and obviously it focuses on Jason Garrett and Quinn for the Falcons and some hot seats, and we're at that point of the year. You know what's interesting? And Patricia was prominently featured in the article as well. Now, that's not surprising at this point, but I got to tell you, I felt like he had kind of stabilized things, and I think Teak's with me. Like, it got off to a really sloppy start. Remember, he chastised the reporter last year, and we're like, whoa, buddy, tap, you're not Belichick, relax. And then they lost a lot of games, and we thought maybe he's one and done, and then they looked like a much more polished product this year. Then they got hosed against the Packers. It's gone sideways since.
Yeah.
If you had to take a guess, is he back next year, yes or no?
I think the odds are against it right now. You know, it's going to be difficult for them to win. Jeff Driscoll's even banged up now. They're probably going to end up putting Matt Stafford on IR here, maybe by the weekend. They haven't won a lot of football games, 9-17-1. You know, Jim Caldwell was winning 9 games a year. You know, now we're almost 2 years into this thing, 9-17-1. And the defense, you know, look, we got Matt Stafford. We got some interesting pieces on offense. You've got to fix the defense. They've had a lead in 15 of these 27 games, yet they're still, you know, have a .333 winning percentage. So, you know, ownership's not getting any younger there, and Matt Stafford's not getting any younger. You know, Bob Quinn, the GM, he's been there, what, 3-4 years now? I hear there's a lot of tension in that building. It's been brewing for weeks. I think he's in a really difficult spot now, and you know, if you start talking about you've been there 2 years, your side of the ball isn't really improved. We're losing a whole lot more games than we were before you got here, and maybe we're at a crossroads with our GM too.
Yeah,
that could be a difficult spot.
Jason, doesn't it feel like there's a hiring problem in the National Football League? Because how many of these one or two and duns are we talking about? It feels like it's just more and more frequently where we're seeing these guys not get a chance to turn things around or to get their players in or to change the culture or to mesh with the front office. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It just feels like there's a hiring problem. And I don't think that maybe it's a recent development, but maybe it's not. Misremembering. Did it used to be this way?
I mean, I think the rate of change has been fairly fairly steady in terms of the turnover. You know, it's usually averages about 6.5 a year. Maybe it's so many people chasing a certain model where there's just not enough supply to meet the demand. There aren't Sean McVays all over the place, and I think, yes, some of these teams don't do a very good job of identifying candidates. some of these jobs are. I mean, like, Jacksonville's in trouble right now. Like, well, here's the thing. The last time Jacksonville went through this a few years ago, there was one correct answer if you wanted that job. I love me some Blake Bortles. Oh, I can win with him. Absolutely, boss. We'll be fine. No. He's on an upward trajectory. No, we're good. You know, the Josh McDaniels and the Kyle Shanahans of the world who came through there said, hey, man, we like a lot about this organization. We like your analytical bent. We think we could win here, but not with that quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, sometimes these searches, they already kind of have the guy identified before they get there. And then sometimes I think you have to, at the end of the day, evaluate the owners. And some of these owners just historically, time and time again, Dan Snyder comes to mind. You know, the Haslams don't get it right. Now, Freddie Kitchens lately looks good. You know, we'll see. They've got a chance to really still make something of their season. But I think you do have to look at the processes and who's evaluating the evaluators and you know, what do they really get right and what do they get wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's Jason Lockenfour, of course. Jason, CBS Sports NFL Insider, with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
Now, Jason, the other story that's around coaching that we've been following is, or talking about at least, is Jason Garrett and the Dallas Cowboys. And BT and I were speculating, Jason Garrett might be getting sick of this. He's won 3 out of the last 4. Jerry Jones kind of puts him on blast a little bit and says, you got to finish in first place. We don't know if he's talking about the division, the conference, or the league. What are you hearing about Jason Garrett's future?
My reporting on this has been steadfast since really the beginning of the season, which is Jerry thinks he's got a Super Bowl team, and Jerry's telling his sponsors and his confidants and his business associates that I've put everything in place for Jason, and if Jason's going to get another contract, he's going to earn it in January. We don't know if they're going to get to January, mm-hmm. and I certainly don't. I mean, if you look at their body of work, they don't tend to beat the kind of teams that get to January.
Yeah.
And maybe they shed their skin and become something else and galvanize and become a force in the postseason. But if they don't, this guy doesn't have a contract beyond this year for a reason.
Yeah.
And I've heard Lincoln Riley, you know, would be the guy who Jerry covets, and he's had one eye over there at Oklahoma for a while, watching how that develops, and he's looking at some of his talent on offense and saying, wow, well, what if we could do that at the pro level?
Yeah, yeah, and it's looking like Cliff Kingsbury, even though they're not winning a lot, it is kind of working with Kyler Murray in Arizona, yeah. Who's having a pretty decent season despite their record.
Another
coach, you know, to highlight on is Mike Tomlin, not because his job is in danger here, but he's making a decision at quarterback to start Devlin Hodges over Mason Rudolph. Neither one of them are likely the future, but this one feels interesting and different because of the recent history of Mason Rudolph and the Cleveland Browns, their opponent this weekend. Is Mike Tomlin making the right decision here?
I think so. I mean, there were some people in that building who didn't want him to go back to Mason Rudolph after, you know, Duck came in and sparked him and you know, back when Rudolph got the concussion and they felt like, you know, Hodges pushed the ball downfield a little bit more. Hodges was a little more sort of carefree, a little bit more loose. And the players seem to respond to that. And look, the last two outings for Mason Rudolph are
horrendous
failure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even letting him start the second half, there were people in that building saying, just make the change at halftime, Mike. Don't overthink it. So they won ugly against a horrible team, but they still won. The kid came in, immediately had a scoring drive, and I think at this point you're trying to hope you have a hot hand and look, they just don't want the quarterbacks to mess it up. Mason Rudolph was messing it up. You know,
yeah.
They think the defense is pretty darn good. So do I. You know, the kicker's having a really good year. They still believe in their offensive line. Just don't mess it up, QB. And Rudolph was.
Hey, Jason, let me just lay this out for those who might not connect all these dots, but then I want to really hear what direction you take it. And that's the state of football in L.A. I mean, Jared Goff is a mess. Gurley's knee is arthritic. You got to pay Ramsey. You have no draft equity in terms of premium capital. Yeah. You traded it all away. We know that. McVay's not evolving. Then you look at the Chargers. Phillip Rivers, all due respect, looks like he's done.
Yeah.
They don't have any fans anyway. I mean, I have to think privately the NFL is seriously lamenting the decision to bring two teams there. What is the? Can you envision a situation in 5 years with the Chargers or somewhere else? Because I can.
I don't know about five. I think a lot of these sponsorship deals are going to be 7, 10 years. I think you're looking at probably at least 5 years and probably closer to a decade of this experiment. I think it remains to be seen what the allure of this facility is, and the fact that you haven't had a state-of-the-art football stadium in L.A. since the 1920s. You know, will this become like the Forum was in the 80s? And will this become
Camden Yards in the 90s?
Yeah,
or, yeah,
like,
I got you.
If you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
And for how long? And will the teams have to hold up their end of the bargain and all that? I get it. I just think when the NFL looks at the next 10 years of its economic plan, and once it's crushing it on its next broadcast deals, and when it gets this CBA done, I think it could be done by the Super Bowl, and when the gambling money pours in, football is a spectator sport, and people, you know, hand-wringing about PSLs, I think they can still fill that stadium with out-of-town fans, with people who spend, you know, $500 on one game, you know what I mean, without making the commitment to all those games, walk up, you know, stub people buying through StubHub and third parties. Mm. I think there'll be enough fannies there, but it's more about the TV market. If people are just watching on TV, if the ratings are strong in L.A., stronger than they'd be without them having teams there, you know, I think ultimately, and the sponsor, right, and they have the sponsorships, and
yep.
The suites are sold. You know, if there's 15,000 empty seats, you know, when you look at the grand scheme of the bottom lines of these franchises, that's not going to crush them.
Yeah.
Okay, having said that, you know, within the walls of the Rams building, how concerned are they about the direction of Jared Goff?
I don't think they're where a lot of outsiders are yet. Mm. And they also know that, look, this kid just 2 years ago looked completely shattered. And in the span of 4 months, Sean McVay rebuilt him to a point where, you know, he got himself on a track where 2 years later he's a $120 million quarterback, or, you know, is at least being compensated at that level. There's a lot of belief in Sean McVay. But they're not the same team they were 2 years ago, personnel-wise. The
no.
left tackle is not as good. They don't really have a center right now. The running back is kind of a guy, not the man. The wide receivers, you know, they're somebody's always sort of hurt. So is Jared Goff who they paid him to be? No. Does he have to be a whole lot better than this? Yeah, but he's a problem, but, like, so is, like, their lack of any outside pass rushers.
I'm with you.
So is the lack of really playmaking linebackers. So is a so-so secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot going on there. And Wade Phillips is in his 70s. I mean, that's a team that all of a sudden I think is hitting some at a crossroads at a bunch of different spots.
In a division that's going to be a beast for the next three,
yes,
4, 5 years.
They're already Super Bowl contenders. And Kyler Murray is going to be a special player
in this
league. And he's going to be the kind of guy who I think can put a franchise on his shoulders. That's not Jared Goff. If everything else is in place, Jared Goff will help you win games. When things fall apart, he's not going to sway the balance in the other direction.
I don't disagree. I don't think anybody really does. We're talking to our guy, JLC, Jason Lock, and for a final thing. I know Teague's got something for you.
Yeah, real quick, Jason. I guess one of the great stories of this season is the Tennessee Titans quarterback and Ryan Tannehill. Like Miami, we'd given up on him. It was like, yeah, your project had failed. He's not going to work. Now he's 4-1. He's leading the league in yards per attempt, at almost 9.5 yards per attempt. So he's throwing the ball downfield, 10 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Obviously, he feels now like a franchise quarterback where he never did before. Does he stick here at Tennessee? And then I guess the second part of this, because at 26, Marcus Mariota shouldn't be done.
Right.
But where does he go?
Well, the first part, I mean, look, since Ryan Tannehill took over, that team is averaging 50 yards more passing a game and 44 more yards rushing. Like, all they did is change one guy, and it's 100 yards a game different than their output before. The receivers are showing up now more. They're pushing the ball down the field. This kid is confident. He's cut loose. He's not worried about living up to being drafted 8th overall. He's not stuck between, you know, wars between the personnel side and the coaching side. And, you know, it's just a breath of fresh air for him. I did a lot of reporting on this Sunday, you know, for CBSSports.com. And he's just kind of able now to not worry about – doesn't have to worry about his paycheck and living up to it. He's just playing football. And that cast around him isn't super special. And he's been great. Yeah, the Titans are going to want to keep him. But you said it. Mariota's not doing great. Jameis Winston's not doing great. Joe Flacco looks like he's done. Eli Manning looks like he's done. Phillip Rivers looks like he's done. All these other potential quarterbacks, you know, Cam Newton, somebody might trade for him, but how healthy is he? All of a sudden, Tannehill is looking like a pretty intriguing option.
Yeah.
And it won't just be Tennessee who's noticing. Trust me.
He's going to get paid. All right, Jay, listen, it's a holiday week, so appreciate you squeezing us in. I know you're going to be on trains and, for the most part, Manhattan this weekend. So I'll see you on Sunday. We'll keep reading you. Enjoy the games. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Same to you guys. Enjoy your turkey, and talk to you next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.